The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, welcome to the Modern Waiter Podcast. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter, where we discuss all things restaurant business, learn something, laugh at something. On today's show, it's our anniversary.
Yeah!
We've done 3 years already. And today we're going to do a quick Q&A, and we gathered up some questions from our audience.
Yes.
You know, some people...
People that have been listening over the last couple of weeks have been throwing us some questions.
Yes.
I love it.
They've been throwing us some questions, and we're going to do some looking forward, do some reflections, and here to help us answer some questions and to celebrate is friend of the show, Jason Raymond. But first, the intro.
I'm tired of working deadbeat jobs for lame pay. I'm tired of getting fired and hired the same day. If you know the rules of the game, then you'll stay. And if you don't, then you'll be a pawn while they play. I'm tired of working deadbeat jobs.
As usual, I'm joined by my good friend Danny Davila.
What's up, what's up, what's up?
We are at Anthony's Clam
House
Bar,
House. All the above. We've done a couple of shift drinks here, but yes. You know. We decided to give you a little bit different than in the studio for the ending of the third and the beginning of the fourth.
Correct. And welcome, Jason.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me at Anthony's Clam Shack House Bar and Grill.
Yeah. Thanks for having me back. I mean, is it between you and Omar that have been the most on the show?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Yeah, because Omar's been on both. He's been on shift and in the studio.
Yeah. I think this is a third or fourth time having you.
Yeah. Sure.
Either way, it's not a competition, but I'm honored.
Yeah, so. It's not a competition, but I'm winning.
Thank you.
Winning.
I think that I'm winning for airtime.
Oh, most definitely. Oh, definitely. Most definitely. We end up cutting your show up into two all the time.
So
we will not be doing that today.
He has more shows.
Yes, that's
legit.
Right. That's okay. Right. Now, tell me, man, how was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was awesome. It's always great being down here with you guys and hanging out and... this is my seventh day on vacation. So,
nice. Oh, wow.
I'm pretty lost at this point. Drinking, sun, all kind of blends together, and somehow it's Sunday.
That happens.
Sounds like a great vacation.
Oh, it's awesome. Does. I love it.
Tell me about your turkey day. Since we can't be this close to Thanksgiving.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me about
how'd
your
day go?
Oh, it was great.
What was your plate like?
Full, and there were many of them. So,
okay.
So my plate, this is the only things I had on it, was a huge thing of stuffing.
Okay.
An enormous amount of turkey.
Excellent.
And then a lot of sweet mashed potatoes.
Okay.
So you're
like sweet
guy.
Potato mash?
I am a side, yes. Sweet
nice.
Potato mash. Yep. And so do that once, twice, and then three plates of that. That's it. I'm good.
You were sleeping.
That's it.
Did you even see the turkey? I wanted to sleep. Did you even see like the 8 o'clock game?
Yeah, of course, man. It was the Bills.
Okay. Oh, that's right.
What's wrong with you, man?
That's right.
Now, this may not apply because you didn't really mention turkey, but I recently did a question on my IG, and it turned out to be split. So I want your opinion. Fresh cranberry sauce or canned cranberry sauce?
Canned.
Can all the way, right?
Yep. Can all the way.
Are you a can?
I don't eat neither one. So you can have them both, but...
Really?
Yeah. It's all canned. Good for me.
It reminds me of childhood, man.
Yes, very nostalgic.
If I'm going to buy it, it's going to be canned.
Yeah, I mean, you don't buy fresh.
No, well, I'm not making it, obviously, if I don't eat it like that.
No, my mom made the fresh.
Did she?
I had to eat it.
Oh. He said it was such...
It was good, but...
Did she listen to the show?
I want... My mother has never listened to the show.
Okay, good. So it's okay.
watch her listen for the first time.
Is that right?
Heard your show. She's heard much worse.
No, no, you're fine.
Okay.
I'm just like the shape of it, though. That's the only thing I don't like. When you bring it out of the can and you actually, it's the same shape and ridges as the can.
It looks like the can,
but the ridges show you where to cut.
Or
it looks like jello.
You just figure out your own portion size. You know, either one, that's perfect.
It
looks like canned jello.
I love jello. Well, I mean, used to. I haven't.
Yeah, I haven't had jello.
When's the last time you had jello? That's not in a shot. Does the parrot really still?
They don't do them anymore.
They don't do the jello shots anymore. Was it just for the Eagles games they used to do scored or something?
Yes, they used to keep them in stock all season long.
Okay.
I mean, they didn't really have them in the summertime, but I mean, they didn't start prepping them until the summertime, so in the winter, there wouldn't be any.
What we're talking about is one of our local bars, they would hand out jello shots randomly.
Yeah.
And they were delicious.
But they were always green. But they would always be leftovers and stuff when we come through. And so.
Hey, you got a random jello shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't had jello in years.
Years. Besides a jello shot.
I was probably thinking right about the time where Bill Cosby got. That's probably when you should stop eating jello. Okay? So.
Yeah, but you got to separate the art from the artist. I mean, he sold a lot of jello, but, you know.
Putting jello all the way above.
Yeah.
And I still like Billie Jean. Too, so.
Oh, I mean, why is it that some of the most demented people like R. Kelly, Michael Jackson, they get the best music?
Amazing. Oh, God.
Amazing music. I went down the R. Kelly rabbit hole not too long ago.
Yeah.
I'm like, this man.
A musical genius.
A musical genius.
Obviously,
he has to up the age a little bit.
Yeah, he's got some issues.
A couple issues.
A couple.
Yeah, a couple.
That interview with Gayle King was disgusting. Anyway, let's get into some questions here. Let's steer this back on the road, William.
Already he down said the it, rabbit not me. Hole.
Now, forgive me if I don't say all the names that submitted questions, but we're going to go through. And my first question is going to go for Danny. What's the biggest lie you've told a guest and got caught?
Wow. I should have probably. I like how he put me on the spot.
Well, okay.
No, I can't even remember.
That one was from Reed Cornell Stevens. And I remember telling a guest that we were closed. Like, I was closing at the old job.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but that's not really getting caught to me.
No, well, I got caught because they went and I said, it's only, we're only open at the bar. You know, I shuffled it. I didn't tell them we were closed.
That's
I
not
shuffled
wrong.
Oh, Kelly, it was wrong. It was wrong. Kelly, she sat him right back down.
Yo, they're the worst. I hate when they do that.
I got caught. I'm sitting there waiting on him, and I just told him.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Oh, man.
That's messed up.
No, that's pretty solid.
We had
that is good.
Table in a couple hours.
Yo, you exactly.
I admit it. I was wrong. I'm not trying to justify it.
Mine would be definitely along the same lines. I think I've gotten caught doing the same thing one time. And I sent somebody to the bar just like you. Sent them to the bar. And then I look back and they're in like 8:03. I'm like.
I hated closing.
Oh, man.
I don't like to. I don't have to really. I'm not a late place anymore.
I don't mind closing. But I do mind closing now. But I used to not mind closing at all.
Yeah. Now, what's the rudest comment you ever gotten from a customer?
Rudest?
Yes.
Yeah, people are rude all the time. So, my worst to meet still to this day is a guest was so rude and he started snapping at me like I was a dog. And I think we talked about this on another podcast and I looked him dead in the eye and I go, I am not a dog. You don't whistle or snap at me ever.
Okay? Yeah.
And to me that was the most, but he was foreign. It was so rude and I was so pushed, and they were rude to begin with. But the action of what he did, like it was like a whistle snap at the same time,
mm-hmm.
and I went into automatic freakout mode. Like what? I am a human being.
Yeah, that's called a trigger.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, well, I don't really get that much. I think looking back in my early years,
mm-hmm.
I've had some guests that were rude to me. But now, it wasn't that they were rude. They were just being themselves.
True.
You know, sometimes people are who they are. I can describe some moments where I don't like to be dismissed. If I'm there, don't like, you know, kind of like, oh, by the way, and things like that. So I remember it was my first restaurant job. It was Bennigan's.
Bennigan's.
So that goes back, I mean, I've known this man here to my left for many, many years. So he knows that I worked at Bennigan's. And I had just a tough time with this table.
Yeah.
And at the end of what she had to say to me, she goes, oh, and you could just bring me some coffee. And she just kind of like flipped her hand over her shoulder.
And you know what it is? And I think it's sometimes not what you say, it's how you say it. And
always. And tone matters.
And then, like you said, something that just sets you off where they do something dismissive or something rude. And it's those actions that make you like, your blood boils. Now, what have you had to deal with? Either like...
Oh, no. I'm not finished.
Oh.
Yes. Shut up. I had the retort. I said, oh. So I brought the coffee pot over. I slammed the cup in front of her. I poured that coffee from like chin height. And she's on the thing. So obviously it spilled. And at the time, it was the creamers in the little pods. I tossed those creamers on the table from over my shoulder and walked away.
Damn.
All right, you had a question for me.
I did. Being on both sides of the coin, what have you ever dealt with, like from a server, like that had to deal with a rude guest, or had you ever fixed anything that was like a really crazy story, like somebody would kind of tell and you had to go fix it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have answers to all these things. First of all, lies to the guest. The only time I really lie to a guest is if it's for their own good, and that's how I feel. Like that's what makes me feel better about it. Like
protecting you from yourself.
Exactly. So, but a quick example is if like the heating or the air isn't working right, which actually this was recent over at Seed, and they're like, can you turn the heat on? And I go in the back and I come back out. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Just turned it on, but it does not work at all.
Yeah.
And it's not going to work for like a week. So then in the end, like you see them like taking their jackets off and it's
like they thought it was working. It was a mental
mindset.
Oh yeah.
It's a mindset thing. So I'm like, I just did them a favor, you know?
Yes. I warmed your heart.
Yes. Crazy story wise. I mean, I had, I don't know if I've told this story on here, but on opening night of Seed, there was a guest that walked to the bar, and this was night one in like a very affluent neighborhood, and like, you know, obviously wasn't anticipating security issues.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we had a guest come sit at the bar, and he looked like he was kind of maybe on something when he walked in. He sat right next to our liquor reps in the corner of the bar, and then I was looking at him, and then he went to reach for one of the liquor reps' glasses of wine and like rip it out of his hand. So I went up to him at the bar, and I was like, hey, man, like, you got to leave. You know, this is our opening night, and you're acting like a crazy fool. And he's like, well, if you tell me that one more time, I'm going to elbow you in the effing face. So I said, well, like I said, and then as soon as I said that, he lunges back and tries to elbow me in the face, in which he left himself perfectly open for a headlock.
Nice.
And I grabbed him around the head, and I dragged him off of the bar stool onto the floor, out the front door, and see you later. So and I have a video proof of that, which I will show you both after the show.
That's awesome.
It's pretty interesting.
Day one.
And I was like, immediately after that night was over, I was like, we're going to have to get cops outside. This is bananas, this town, you know? So,
oh, my God.
Now, since then, have you had nothing like that, pretty sure, right? Or was it just a freak accident?
Yeah, that was totally a one-off. I mean, I've thrown guests out before.
I mean, that's part of the, yeah. I've seen Marlon throw a guest out before.
I've had to do that several times.
I mean, I retire
from that, though.
I'm pretty sure if they had a record of throwing the oldest guest out, I probably would have it. So this was a very interesting situation. So there was this one guy that comes in with his family, and he was like 97 at the time. So he was going out on the patio. The server, who was a girl, opened the door for him because that's what we do for everybody. When he was going on the patio, he reached out and literally grabbed her boob like full on.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had to go up to him. First of all, he was obviously was not all there and very coherent in general. He wasn't drinking or anything, but I had to go to his family and tell his family first what happened. And obviously they're already on the defensive, but you can tell that this is not the first time that he has done this in a restaurant. So I had to, and then I had to tell them they had to leave, and they were defensive, and I had to say, well, now everybody has to leave, because you can't have this 97-year-old guy wandering around groping women in the parking lot either.
Yeah. Can you watch your kid, please?
Yeah. So either leave or we're calling the cops. So that was the last time he was ever in the restaurant. So
man. Oh, man. Getting it in.
Getting it in.
That is awful.
Yeah.
Actually, it's phenomenal.
No, it isn't. I mean, like,
I'm not mad at him, yeah.
Yes,
especially if he's 97. Yeah, he deserved it.
No.
He needed that in his life.
If it was your daughter?
Am I a part of this show?
I would probably lose my mind, but that's not the point.
What is happening?
He knows what he's doing. Stealing batteries and grabbing
boobies. And you are going to have to, you're going to have to edit most of the show up.
Yeah, we're going to have ribbons left.
Holy cow.
So, I had a question for you, which was, what was the most crazy guest experience? I cut that off. I already crossed that off because you already gave it to us. Now, on a job interview, what is the worst thing you've heard on a job interview?
Oh, yeah, it's totally for you.
Worst thing? That is a great question. Actually, this came, I don't know. I don't know if you classify it as worst, but I actually hired this girl. She was,
I can't wait.
She's relatively young. She's probably listening to this too, but she's relatively young. I just loved how honest she was. You know, I asked questions about their past jobs and it's an hour long and she was actually interviewing to be like a bus girl, but all of our interviews are that long. So we were like really get into it. And I was like, so why did you leave your last job? You know, she's like, honestly, they were just all a bunch of dicks. You know, and like being in an interview at a place like us, I was like, all right. And then she kept going and going. And
about how bad they were?
Yeah. And she's like, F them. And this is what he did. And like sexual harassment and all this stuff. And I was like, but you can tell it was just like a genuine honesty that came out of this girl's mouth. And I love that about her.
And the good thing is you know where you stand with people like that.
Right.
You know, and you know that you're not going to get a BS answer when you ask them, hey, what happened to that? They're going to tell you instead of giving you the crap that people give you, like, oh, well, I didn't see it. Oh, I saw you step over it. You saw it.
Right.
Yeah.
So here's the thing with me in interviews. It's it can be painful sometimes, but no matter what, no matter who walks in the door, I never judge a book by its cover ever, and I've learned that over and over again. But if I know you're not the right person for the job in the first 5 minutes, I will continue for the entire hour that goes – just because I know you can be a future guest. You can talk about our process to somebody like, hey, it's really hard to get in that place. I feel like that's an advantage for us. But I also, out of respect for that person, I want to give them all the respect.
Because
they showed up, you know.
Cool. Yeah.
And right now, in the way things are going and hiring process, if you show up, it's like a 10% chance that you're showing up to the interview now. Like, that's how our interview process has been going.
That's interesting.
So if you show up, I'm giving you the time. And that's it. So
we have another one. Should you take the table's order in a certain direction, clockwise or counterclockwise? And if so, why does it matter?
I have an answer for both. It depends on the table for me. Yes, if it's a large party, I will always do it in sequence so I stay organized.
Okay.
If it's a smaller party, like a four top or even like a five or six, I usually go to the ladies first. I do it chivalry-wise. Like, if there's three girls there, you know, especially in age, I'll speak like how kind of go across the board that way.
Okay.
And then from like oldest to youngest, and then kids, and then the men. That's usually my spiel normally on a smaller table. But as a large party, I try to keep it very organized. So I will start at the head position, exactly how it's going to go into the kitchen. This way, everything's organized.
All right. Very similar for me. That question came in from Hansen. Hansel. For me, if it's a large party, it's hard for me to bounce around from woman to woman or female to female. So what I may do is just skip the dudes.
Mm-hmm.
I always go in seat numbers, so I will write down 1 through 16 if it's, you know, whatever. And then I will skip all the dudes and go around and then fill it in always because, you know, it doesn't matter for me which direction I go in because I'm writing down the seat numbers anyway.
Absolutely.
Now, for a smaller party, definitely I'm doing the I always go ladies first, and if a guy jumps in, I stop him.
Yeah.
And I say, I'm going to start here, and if she's not ready, then she gives up the honors, and that's fine with me. I work at a place where I want the pomp and circumstance to exist. I want them to feel special and all that stuff. And they should. So for me, it doesn't matter which direction because I'm in charge of how it's...
you're going to be organized regardless of
I'm
how
gonna
the
I'm going to be organized. And so it's not the direction. It's ladies first and then...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and that's very traditional fine dining style. So the way you guys describe it, like, that's exactly how I learned in a very, you know, at a place like L'Escalier that used to be open in, at the Breakers, or mm-hmm. that's how mm-hmm. they do it. But it's something that takes no effort. It doesn't cost anything. And like you said, they just appreciate it.
Yeah.
If you have a table that, I mean, making the ladies feel special, it's not a, I'm not saying this in a, any kind of a biased way, but yeah, the generally the men are going to be the ones paying. So they appreciate when you take care of the ladies.
It empowers them.
Absolutely. Yeah. So.
It empowers them to say, hey, that's why I brought you here.
Exactly.
You know. Now, we have another one. It's a, it's kind of an easy one. Are you single?
Yeah.
Danny's single. I'm single.
I am not single.
He is not single.
I am not.
Moving on.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that was not meant for me, and it was
for...
Do
we have a name for that one? I forget it. It's okay.
I know the name.
Okay.
What is the worst service you've ever given?
Okay. I try not to ever give horrible service, but there has been times, and I've known, I knew I did it. Back in the day, I stretched myself a little thin, and I did it. It wasn't even my, it was my fault, but it wasn't my fault.
Here comes the double talk.
Yes. I was on a double. At my job, it was the in-between shift, like, you know, that point where I'm the closer, and...
That's the worst part of the day.
It's the hardest part of the day.
It's the worst.
Okay. And the manager said somebody upstairs, and I told him, I said, we don't put them upstairs. I'm probably not, you know, I'm already 7-8 tables in, you know. It's going to be hard for me to even reach up there. And I told them, but it was just, I felt so bad for them, like, and I got busy. I got two more tables, and I ignored them. Yeah, I mean, I put their order in, and I went upstairs, I took their order, then I forgot their order for 15 minutes. Okay, then I had to go back upstairs, put their order, because once I realized I put their order in, so now they're already waiting for like 20 minutes before, this is already, you know what I mean? They waited 5-10 minutes for me to come upstairs. Then another 20 minutes, you're talking 30-40 minutes.
Yeah.
So by the time the food got there, they were almost there for an hour. And they were the nicest people when I finally...
You look like you're crying.
Oh, man. When I was finally able to get up to them...
You'd be sad about it.
When I was finally able to get up to them, and they were so nice about it, but they were, you know, they were mad, and they had every right to be mad.
Yeah.
And when you can't do anything about it, and you know that you're good at your job, it was one of those just, like you said, I failed them, and I felt bad about it.
Yeah. I don't have a specific story. I mean, I remember a Mother's Day, and I was just, you know, I was just given too many tables.
Yeah.
I
think I remember that time.
It was rough, and I couldn't do anything about it. And I felt genuinely bad for people. I was like, survival mode.
You're in survival mode.
Yeah, but you know, I remember there have been some times when I was like, oh, and it's when your service gets a little cumbersome. You know, when you have like wine. Everybody else is busy, so they can't help you. You know, it's just. It's almost like a system failure.
Yes.
And you are part of that system, so you can't, like, point anything. You're like, I messed up. And you look at them, and you're like, I get it.
I was like, I don't even deserve your tip, is what I told them straight to their face. I expect for you not to tip.
there's been some times, but I can't really, you know, put it into words. What's the worst screw-up you've done on the podcast? That's easy. I lost an entire episode.
Yeah, he did.
We had to, I don't know how, I did not, I don't know if I didn't save it, I don't know what happened.
I remember that one.
And
it was a good
Danny.
Show.
I was like, look, Danny, I can't find it. Like, what happened? There's an episode where we start out and we sing the song second time around. That's because we literally had to retape the whole episode over again. Like weeks later. It wasn't even like fresh in our minds.
No, it was later.
It was us trying to find it, trying to figure out what happened.
Because we had talked about this earlier. We batch shows. We do like three or four shows so we can have something for you guys every week.
Yeah.
And it was probably like until that like fourth week. And I'm like, where's my show at? And he's like,
it's
there. We recorded it.
And like other things were there. Like
Everything was there but the show. Yes. Yeah. Everything like the session file was there. The name of the show was there. There was nothing in there.
It was bad.
I go, what happened?
It's good practice.
Yeah, no, and we've learned.
Yeah, we've learned. We've learned to back up the backup.
Yeah. You know, we have backups for our backups
teachable
now.
Teachable moment.
Oh, another one. I dropped a hard drive.
Yes. Our second shift drink?
Yes. And lost two shows.
Yes.
While on vacation.
Good for him. I couldn't be mad at him.
Yeah, see? Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah. Otherwise, I would have been mad at him. But I was like, I know how that feels. All right. Have you ever been fired? Jason, have you ever been fired?
I have not.
Danny?
No. I had an equal...
don't give me that. We broke up simultaneously.
Yeah, you can't say no and but when you said
no. He does that double talk crap all the time.
You love it. Be quiet. No, he's like,
but they did tell me not to come back.
No. It wasn't that. I had an issue with my manager, and we just decided it was best that I...
He got fired.
I didn't get fired because I wasn't coming back. I was already had another job. So I put my 2 weeks in, but I didn't have to come back for the 2 weeks.
Got it.
Double talk. Fired.
But that was the only time in my life ever happened, so it was fine.
I got fired, but it was out of, like, pettiness.
Yeah.
And he was leaving, so I didn't really even get fired. I just kept working there because he left.
I mean, they didn't fix the glitch?
No, it's Office Space.
Yeah.
No, it was my first restaurant job. The guy was a complete turd. And it was some scheduling issues and stuff like that. And I was like, well, I'm not coming in. And he's like, you're fired. And I was like, okay. And then the other manager goes, he's leaving anyway.
Nice. So you just keep moving your office until it's in some other building?
Yeah. Took my stapler.
Took my stapler.
Yeah, your section today is at the restaurant across the street. I hope you don't mind.
Now, this one's for you, Jason. Do your servers have a script to follow upon greeting?
Yes, they do. So if it's done correctly, it comes out to 41 minutes or 41 seconds. Sorry, 41 minutes. If it's done correctly, it comes out to 41 seconds.
Okay.
So, and the reason why I really like that is because there's nothing worse than walking into a restaurant, you sit down, and then the server says, hey, what do you want to drink? But you honestly know nothing about the entire restaurant, what it's about. And this is like a very short overview. So when you first start, go through training, we want you to follow the 41 seconds and do the script the way it's planned. Mm-hmm. But now, if you've been there a long time, you can go off script as long as you're hitting all the points. So a lot of these guys, obviously, they can do it in their sleep. You know, a lot of the servers, the guys and girls that work for us. So, but I think it's a crucial part of the job. I want highlights. I want to know what this place is about.
Okay.
In as short amount of time as possible.
Do you mind giving me the highlights?
Yeah, can you give us the spiel real quick?
Yeah, so it's...
I'm going.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote it. I haven't said it in a while.
Okay.
But no, we just explain who Doug Turbush is. We explain that we're farm to table. We explain what that means.
Okay.
You know, everything... We explain the bar program, how it's very similar to the kitchen and that everything is fresh and seasonal. And then we talk about the wine program. We talk about the beer program and the cocktails. And then we go through and highlight some of the food. And then we leave it at that. And then we walk away. We get a beverage. And we come back. Then we say the spiel. So it's broken up.
Okay.
So you're not holding them hostage the whole time. Because if you got to the specials by the end of that...
They'd be wiped out.
Yeah, exactly. So
wiped out.
Okay, so that's fair because that was about... 25 seconds.
And that was in the whole thing.
No, but, I get it.
Yeah. No, he gave us...
but then you broke it down, then you probably come back, give another 25 seconds roughly.
Yeah, so that's with the specials and, I mean, we try to steer people in certain directions. Some guests will... If they try to take control of their own dining experience, and you've talked about this before on one of the podcasts, they can ruin their own experience.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it happens a lot. So our dream come true is when somebody says... You guys just order for us, and we're like,
"Oh,
perfect.
That's great!"
Like any allergies or whatever, and then we'll go to town. See you later, because we know.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, just let me know what you don't like or what you can't eat, and I got you from there.
Exactly.
I love it. Yeah,
and that's like it's an empowering thing for the server and whoever's taking care of them too. So,
and then when they get those, it's the most gratifying thing when they get the meals that you actually picked out for them and they love them.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
They're like, you know, thank you for taking control of that situation.
Yeah, and that's also why your tip percentage is going to be higher.
Yeah.
So nice. It's trust. It's the trust building.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we have a few more.
Okay.
How often do you wash your apron? This should be easy.
I don't even wear an apron anymore.
Wow, you're so beltless.
I'm beltless. But when I wear the apron all the time, twice a week.
How do you not wear an apron?
Because I have three. I would have. So I would wash. Actually, I would wash them all once a week. But I have three.
How
aprons.
Do you not wear an apron?
Oh, I'm a ninja now. Don't worry about my ninja skills.
That's disgusting.
It's awesome. It makes perfect sense for me.
No, it doesn't. It completes the uniform.
Stop projecting on me.
How do you not wear an apron?
Don't.
Where do you keep your pens?
In my pocket.
Where do you keep your book?
I don't have a book anymore. I keep a pad in my back pocket to write my tips down. And I put cash in the other back pocket. And my apron, and my pens and my wine cure in one pocket. And I'm good to go.
You look sloppy as hell. I can see it.
It's amazing. I don't look sloppy.
This guy's got a system.
I have a system.
Jesus.
I buy the pants that work for me.
Like hammer pants.
See, I'm already getting projected on.
He seems upset about it.
He's very abusive today, right?
It's very, well,
you know. I think I'm cranky because I was up late.
That might be my fault.
Now, holidays, Jason. How do you handle request time offs in holidays? Are you one of those that blocks off the holidays or
sure
talk
do.
To me about that?
Yes, I do. So
he's like, yep, don't even try.
Yeah. So I mean, we'll
but
make,
you got to know in advance.
Yeah, we'll make special circumstances for some people. If you know, I mean, if kids that work for us are go to high school. I'm not going to take away like their prom, you know, or
yeah,
like
absolutely.
Or their family vacations. That's just they're going. It's mm-hmm. okay. But like our core group of servers and bartenders, yeah, I mean, from the 22nd of December through the 31st, generally, no. I mean,
now are you guys open on Christmas though?
We're not.
See, that's perfect. See, so I mean, they really have any. They don't.
See,
as long
different.
As they have that day themselves, they really have an excuse.
And we're off on New Year's Day too.
Oh,
and we're
wow.
closed on Monday.
Oh, you're scratch that question
that's
off right
buttermilk
there.
Buttermilk biscuits.
Yeah. Scratch that. You already gave them 2 days off.
Yeah, they're
right.
two
holidays. Oh, come on, bro. That's not.
We're you
good
to
go.
No, we don't. Have Thanksgiving. We're yeah, not open for
what?
Any of the holidays.
Yeah. Shut his mic off, man.
We might need to move to Georgia.
Yeah. All right. I don't know if I could do that spiel, though.
No,
I don't. You're welcome. And you got to wear an apron.
I'm okay with it.
I'm okay.
So all right. I've been there long enough. I can be beltless now. It's okay.
All right. I want everybody to answer this one. How many tables do you get in your section?
I'm a 5 table, but my restaurant is 4 and 5, but I've been there long enough to where I can handle 5, no problem.
Okay. I'm a 4, sometimes 5. Once in a while, 3. Then we have a 3 anywhere.
But that's
from
when you have
5.
The big. When the it's. But you're doing seats, right? So it still equals out when you have the.
Not
3
necessarily,
or no?
No. And it's but it's fine because you can make money on a 2-top. So
gotcha.
In that little 3-table section, because what we do, we rotate. So no one per. It's like a march. If you were there last week, you're here next week, and it just goes like that.
Do you find that when you have a 3-table station versus a 4-table station, that you might make even more money on the 3-table station?
Yeah.
It depends on the server. See, my style of service is when I'm busy, I'm a better server. Now, there's people that they have the gift of talking to people and
right.
they work. Like you said, I think we talked about this before, where when they get that 3-table section, they're killing it because their tip percentage is higher.
Right.
I am more of I flow better when I have an overall flow. So for me to have the more tables, it works out. Not like big parties, but I can do a 6, a couple of 4s, and like 2 deuces, and be clean. And everybody's happy the whole time through. And we're all having a good time. Where I've seen other servers, like, you know, they'll do a 6-top or another, you know, a 6, and then like a deuce, and they'll get crushed. You know, so because it's just a matter of how you manage your table.
I'm the former. I do very well with, you know, less. I get to, like, give them my vibe
uh-huh.
and give them everything. All the details are there, even more so than, you know, if I'm, you know, running around.
Sometimes and, I find when I'm not busy, though, I forget things more. It's what
I think that's a little bit different because with the 3-table, you're still, you know, I want to use the word busy. You're still in a flow.
True.
But it's when you really got that just one and then maybe then you're not in a flow sometimes mm-hmm. and then you don't have that rhythm.
Yeah.
I've been there before.
Yeah.
You get a little because we're so used to being
in a rhythm.
On point.
Exactly.
It's like, oh my god! Oh! I forgot he needed that martini or something
yeah.
like that. I tell you a story. I remember my first job, Bennigan's. They had a time crunch lunch. Get your meal in 15 minutes or less, or
oh,
your meal is free.
Yeah.
And we a guy comes up and he sits down. He's like, oh, I want a Caesar salad. And he grabs the clock and he's like, I want this time crunch. And I look at him. I look around. I said, dude, it's empty in here. Why are you even bothering, you know? And he got that timer going. I forgot to ring the food in. And something like with 13 minutes to go, I remembered. And now I have no shot of making this thing. So I'm ringing this shit on the fly. And I'm like, how did I, you know, there's nobody here. How could I just take his order, write it down, and then forget to do something about it?
Because he pushed the clock.
Can you imagine me going to this manager, this crazy ass manager, saying that I got to buy a time crunch lunch when we're not even busy? And the guy end up getting it for free.
It's like being the great team playing the crappy team. You just let your guard down.
Yes. Yeah.
And the funny thing, you say that, because I have never forgotten this story about Bennigan's and the time crunch lunch, because I used to be a host there for a little while. And there was this girl that was working there. Again, it wasn't really that busy, but she had a six top, and the table was like, they were at the end of the timer, and they were cheering and, like, fork and knife on the table, like, in second succession. And she had this whole tray of food she was bringing up. The second before she was about to put the food down, the timer went off, and they were cheering. And
that's
look,
kinda mean.
And the look on her face, she was, like, in this weird position where she was trying to, like, be happy for the guest, but then she was also not happy for the guest. Now. But the look on her face was like, you know, had one of those uncomfortable faces, like, oh, I'm so happy for you. Now I'm going to get fired.
it might happen, too, back then. You mentioned that you had a question for us.
Oh, yeah. So looking back in the past year, this being the anniversary show, what's the one takeaway you've learned about yourself? I mean, it's been quite a year, so I want to hear kind of personally what you've learned about yourself this past year.
Go ahead, you start.
Well, for me, I learned that this podcast is more about us. And when we started, I did the podcast to almost justify why I was in the restaurant business. For a lot of ways, I am a teacher, and I'm very forever curious. And I am curious about a lot of things, so I bring you topics that I'm interested in learning about and hoping that the guests or our listeners are interested in that as well. And as we go through, and then I got feedback from people or just general people that appreciate the show, they appreciate it because we're just like them. And so I learned to appreciate people a lot more. I've never really been a people. I'm a people person, you know, in some ways. Do reach out to people. I do genuinely have connected with people. Somebody that used to work for you, he connected with me, and we talk all the time. When we plan on coming up, we're going to see you. We're going to eat at your place. We're going to eat at his place. We're going to interview both of you, obviously separately. And one thing that I learned about myself is that I love this business more than I've ever really cared to admit. And I love connecting with the people. It's really, I've bared my soul for this podcast, you know, and I've never really pretended to be perfect.
Yeah. You know? Well, that's one thing that, and I love about both of you is that, yeah, I know you're in this business and you love the business and whatever, but this gives you an outlet to really kind of be your authentic self on this podcast. And, like, that's really an important part of life in general is I think that's something that you should strive to be every year that goes by. How can I be in a business where I can actually be my authentic self and enjoy it?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's a huge part of, you know, you guys have grown so much during the show. It's just, it's proud to watch from the outside.
I appreciate it. And it's a balance between doing the right thing for our company and the guests and still being practical and saying, hey, you know, I may not like it, but I got to do it. Or, you know, I may like it and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. It's full practicality for
absolutely.
Me.
For me, same as him, but at the same time, it also gave me back to my roots. And that was one thing I always loved about the show from the beginning was I love being behind a mic or being in a studio and being around music or the idea of talking to people and connecting with people on a level. So it helped me do that. It helped me bring back my passion and it makes me better at work in the end. It makes me, like we talk about things and we level up and we in our own talks and talking to other people and having guests on the show, we recognize our faults and we try to fix things, and that's just with life or at our job. And I've seen my money even get better, and I make good money, you know what I mean? But I work less and still make the same amount of money, which is huge. You know, when you can say that if you can make the same amount of money and work less, you're doing the right thing.
Yeah. And that's the thing. We learn from each other.
Yeah.
I learned to be a little bit nicer. And, you know, I've always been attentive, but just being genuine, I think the guests really appreciate that.
Of course they do. Honesty.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's do the right thing. That's actually one of our core values, is do the right thing. And kind of the tagline underneath it is, we own our mistakes. So, yeah, I mean, if you're in that situation on Mother's Day where everything's going down, kitchen's going down, can't get the food out, they see how genuinely upset that you are at
absolutely.
Table. You know, and they, you know, so you're empathizing with them, and they look at you, and even though in the end it probably still wasn't a good result, it allows you to be yourself, because you also think that it sucks that they're having that experience. You're not just sitting there trying to mask it and be like, oh, everything's going to be great.
Yeah.
And you're lying for the kitchen or for somebody else. You're
people really respect honesty. You tell them straight to the face, I dropped the ball or they dropped the ball. If you're not putting the blame on something else and you kind of do it with Reno in a good fashion, then they will always usually be on your side for the most part.
And when we drop the ball, I try not to say they, because, you know.
Yeah.
When they do well, you know, you got to give them the credit as well. I try to make it, you know, we messed up for you. We generally give good service. It's not usually the way I want you to come back. And then once you recognize that, you can figure out a way to make it better.
Yes.
If you're the type of person to really minimize things, you don't know the level to which you need to fix it. You underestimate how far you have to go to fix it. If you're just a person be like, oh, you know. You got to admit, sometimes people, they look forward to having a meal, so they may not have eaten in a while. So they're going to be a little bit hangry, or they're going to be a little bit needy, or they're going to need a little bit more attention in the beginning.
Absolutely.
You say you got to give them that attention in the beginning. Even if you can't, you send the troops, you send a manager, send somebody else over.
XYZ helps you out.
Exactly.
Because in the end, you're still a team. And you have to reciprocate on the other end and help those same coworkers that do help you out. Or, you know, if you, or even the ones that don't, and you show them that you can help out, you find that their demeanor in the end, they'll start helping you out and they start becoming more like a team anyways. You have to lead by example.
Nice. One of the sad things that's going on right now is when you are honest. Like, honesty is now a relief. I mean, it's because not a lot of people are honest.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You see all the stuff going on out there. It's cover up here, do this, whatever, on extremes.
That's why we're not cutting things later.
Yeah.
All right, we'll leave it in there.
But
we're going to... Go ahead.
No, yeah, but just people aren't honest. So when you are honest with them, they're like, oh, thank you.
Yeah,
you
know? They love it.
Like, oh, because first of all, they're automatically on the defensive. And if you're honest, it takes them off the defensive. Mm-hmm. And they're like, fine, thank you.
Thank you.
You know? Thank you.
I think that was a great question to leave out on it. Am I missing anything else from you?
No, I mean, I was just going to talk for a second about kind of what I learned about myself
year.
I think it's more of a company because I, you know.
Because you're the man.
It's hard for me to separate myself and the company sometimes, because that's where I put my blood, sweat, and tears and heart and soul. Yeah, for sure. But yeah, just going back to the whole inclusion thing, we don't have to go into it.
No, we will. Let's do it.
Yeah, so after that happened, we started taking a deep dive into ourselves as a company. And then Doug, he was the kind of the spearhead of this whole thing, Chef Doug. He got a book called How to Be an Inclusive Leader by Jennifer Brown. So, and that really kind of like set the tone for, he read it. You know, he went through all the phases of being defensive and, you know, hey, I hire whoever, it doesn't matter. And then it filtered down to me and I read it. Then we had our whole leadership team read it. And really, and it's about four stages of actual awareness that's going on. So it's being unaware, it's being aware, and then it's being active, and then kind of like being an advocate for inclusion. All we're trying to do as a company is to get from the unaware stage, which most people are in, regardless of what they think, to the aware stage. And it's not about race and ethnicity. It's about anything.
Yeah.
It's about across the board. That's what inclusion means. It's allowing somebody to walk through our doors that feels like they can be themselves.
And they should be able to.
And they're not hiding anything from us. You know, and it's like a simple, quick example of that is we have two. We have one for the guest where we no longer put Mr. and Mrs. Smith, happy anniversary, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, automatically on a menu, okay. Not knowing if it, when it says anniversary, because I don't know if it's a man and a woman. And I don't even know if they're married. So we always ask for the first name. So now it's Bill and Lisa or whatever it is.
So you just say happy anniversary. Okay.
Exactly. So
that's,
we took that off. We got caught in that before, where a server delivered to a table and said Mr. and Mrs. and it was two women, and we felt really stupid.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen that often, but it happens enough where we're like, we need to do something about it. Like, we need to change.
And that one thing is a marker of, hey, we got to pay attention.
Yeah. And Absolutely. Then the other thing for us is, you know, we had somebody in the back of the house, and there was a woman that came in that she was an intern, and he said, you know, oh, hey, do you have a husband at home? And she had a wife, you know, and it's like those kind of things. Like, that's what inclusion is all about. Now, us saying that puts her in already the defensive of like, well, I guess I can't talk about my wife here, because you just automatically assume that I have a husband. And like, those are learning things.
Yes. That is, I would never have thought about that.
And we should still do a show about it. We're not going to go, we shouldn't go deep into this topic, because I think that we could definitely delve into this as a real show.
Listen,
I have an enormous amount of topics for all of this. So.
Well, we'll put it in the show sheets, and we're going to end it here. Thank you so much. I can't think of a better person to have our anniversary show with than with you.
Thanks, guys.
And guess what? We're going to have a couple of drinks before we leave Anthony's. Thank you so much, Anthony's. We have taken up your table long enough. You know, now it's
they're not even used to us being here this long.
No, we usually do shift drinks.
Yeah, like 20 minutes in and out.
It's all right.
No, they're fine.
We got you, Anthony's. Don't worry about it. And so thank you so much for joining us each and every week. And if you enjoy our show, just take a minute and hit that share button. And send it to some a friend that may enjoy our show.
Yeah.
That's one way that you can help us out.
It's absolutely.
People helping people. And we are part of the One Star Podcast Network, your one-stop shop for all your restaurant-centric podcasts. Put together by the ladies from...
Sidework Podcast.
Yes, I listened to one of their episodes lately. And they do listener-submitted stories and stuff like that. All that doggone reading.
Yeah, all that reading. Every week they do it. Yeah.
Every week.
Super scripted.
They have like news and all kinds of crazy things. Yeah, check them out. Also, you have Copper and Heat.
Macaroni Zone.
In Your Mouth Podcast.
And Confessions of Server with my man,
Quaylen Harris. We do this for you each and every week. Thank you once again, Jason. I'm Ron Joseph, the Modern Waiter.
I'm Danny DeVilla.
We'll see you next time.
Later.